Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good afternoon to you. Yes, first Wednesday, it seems, of midsummer. Wonderful, wonderful time here in Joburg, weather-wise. Fantastic into September. And of course, today, Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's Rabbi Michael Katz here with you on Judaism 101.9. My great honor and privilege to be with you this afternoon and to share some thoughts about Rosh Chodesh Elul, about the month of Elul, about events, times that are coming up, and about what we should be focusing on and thinking about during this month of Elul, in the build-up, of course, 1 month away from Rosh Hashanah. So perhaps just to begin with the laws and customs, or the things that we should remember, start from Rosh Chodesh Elul, if you haven't been reminded already, and if you weren't in shul perhaps this morning, in order to be able to participate in some of those things. The first thing that you would know is that from Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day of the month of Elul today, we begin the sounding of the shofar. The blowing of the shofar starts today, and it may interest you to know that that dates back to the time when the Jewish people were in the desert. While we were in the desert, having left Mitzrayim, having left Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu was, for the third round of talks, so to speak, going up the mountain to communicate with God. He had been there for one period of 40 days, come back down. The Jewish people were worshipping the golden calf. He left the next day, having destroyed the golden calf, to beg for the lives of his people for one full month and 10 days, for 40 days once again. Came back down, having gained God's blessing of exoneration, and the fact that God said, "Now hew for yourself another set of tablets, bring them up the mountain, I will engrave them, I'll make sure that they are every bit the same as the ones that you broke, that were broken 40 days ago. Take these and I will hew them out." Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain again on the day after the 17th of Tammuz, on the 18th of Tammuz, to come down literally yesterday, to reascend this morning. If we go back those 3,336 odd years ago, Moshe ascending the mountain once again, going up to now receive the complete exoneration and the Torah of forgiveness, so to speak, that he was going to bring back on Yom Kippur 40 days from today. Yes, 40 days from today is Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu then came down with the second set of tablets, with the complete exoneration and forgiveness for the Jewish people. And that was what embedded that attitude into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, this day of Kapara, this day of atonement, 40 days from today, it all goes back to that period of time, to that time when we were in the desert. What has it got to do with the blowing of the shofar? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want there to be the same mistake made twice. The Jewish people had erred in their calculation of the 40 days the first time round, and that was what led them to feeling that they needed to replace Moshe. They didn't know what had happened to him. They needed to replace him. And they went to Aaron and they said, "We don't know what has happened to Moshe. Maybe we need some other way of communicating, of getting through to God." And so came about the whole difficult story of the making of the golden calf, and then the worship of the golden calf. And all of that happened because of a miscalculation of the dates. So Moshe said, "We're not going to make the same mistake twice. You can make a mistake once. The second time you make that same mistake, having seen it and having gone through the tragedies, the traumas, the implications of that mistake, then you are no longer making a mistake, actually, and you're either a total fool or you couldn't care less." And so he didn't want there to be the same mistake made twice. And he said, "I'm going to ascend the mountain tomorrow morning," that was speaking yesterday, "and I need you to provide some kind of a sign to the Jewish people. Set off an alarm, let them all know that I'm leaving now, and I'll be back in 40 days from now, so there can be no mistake as to when I left and how long your Stopwatches, your clocks, your calendars have to run for those 40 days. It starts now with the sound of the shofar. So the sound of the shofar today on Rosh Chodesh Elul has that kind of connotation, besides all the other connotations that it has, which includes the fact that we are trying to wake ourselves up, waking up the soul. There is nothing quite as stirring as that sound of the shofar to stir your soul, to wake you up. Spiritually, you can't really sleep through it. It's a chilling, cutting kind of a sound. It also reminds us of the thousands of years of Jewish continuous allegiance to God and continuous giving and trying and coming close to Hashem from the time of the very first shofar mentioned on the top of the mountain when Avram Avinu, when Abram took his son Isaac up the mountain, was ready to have that total mesirat nefesh, that total self-abnegation, that closeness that was brought about between God Almighty and Abram and Isaac on that mountain. It was symbolized by the shofar that caught the ram in the thicket, in the bushes, and the ram's horn then is that continuous reminder, and it always has been, whether it was at the time of the walls of Jericho, whether it was at the time of Moshe ascending the mountain, whether it was at the time, much more recently, of the conquest of the Western Wall of the Kotel in 1967, sounding the shofar was something that looms large and is very large in the minds of each and every one of us as we think about it. And of course, the sound of the shofar doesn't only wake us up. It wakes up the world. It wakes up the spirituality in the world. And hopefully, too, it wakes up the kindness, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God Almighty for each and every one of us as we now head towards Rosh Hashanah in just a month from today. And so, shofar, started blowing it this morning. We'll sound the shofar every single day from now until the day before Rosh Hashanah, when it is not sounded. Then on Rosh Hashanah itself, of course, the sounding of the shofar during these days of Elul, and of course, then again, with the exception of on the Shabbos in between Shabbat, we do not sound the shofar. The sounding of the shofar is there to remind us of all of the above, as well as the fact that it is this incredible connection and link between ourselves and God Almighty that we each, all of us, each and every one of us, wants to have, does have. And we remind God just who we are. We're the same people who've shown you this allegiance through thick and through thin at all times, in difficulties, in good times, in bad times. We've been there. And God, we want to remind you, we're the same people, sounding the same shofar, calling to you from our narrow side of the shofar, from our difficulties, from our problems, from our narrowness, from our constraints. We're calling to you, God, from your broadness. Please answer us. Have mercy. Have mercy upon us here and now in Israel, around the world, and make sure that this Elul heralds the coming of a great and wonderful year up ahead. And we kind of at the point where we feel it will accept nothing less than the coming of Mashiach, a complete change in the world, a complete change in everybody's attitudes, a complete change in the dishonesty of the world to a side of emet, of truth. And please God, that should all happen speedily, and the sounds of the shofar should only hasten the arrival of all of the above.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. We're talking about the month of Elul today, Rosh Chodesh Elul, a build-up to Rosh Hashanah. This is in the way of the counting of the years of the calendar. This is the last month of the year. However, of course, it is numbered month number 6 in our calendar because we start numbering the months from the month of Nisan, Pesach time, and therefore this is now the 6th month, Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the 7th month, although it is the beginning of a brand new year. 5784 is going to become 5785 in exactly a month from today. So what else is this month of Elul really all about? Well, perhaps we need to borrow a very, very beautiful image that is painted for us by the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who told us that this is the month when Hamelech Basadeh, the king is in the field. Yeah, there's a popular song that people are singing, and they always have, well, they have been for the last while. You even hear it at weddings, at simchas. Hamelech Basadeh, the king is in the field. And the king is in the field, the idea behind the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman's thought process of the king being in the field, was he used it as a way of demonstrating, or as to be able to think about, the closeness of God Almighty at this time. You know, when one would want to make an appointment to go and see the king, perhaps for some kind of a need for yourself or for the community, whether it be financial, political, diplomatic, whatever it was, one needed a special appointment. You have to go through the secretary, and then through the PA, and then through the person who runs the office. And then eventually, if the king wants to see you, the king will see you. And if not, not. And this is the way, kind of, we have the image of getting an appointment with the king. Not something that you or I could do on any particular Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And therefore, it tells us, the Alter Rebbe, that in fact, it is during this month that the king is in the field. You know, when a king goes walkabout, when a king goes into the streets, people have access to him, and they're able to come up to him, and they're able to talk to him. Yeah, of course, there are security concerns, all of those things, as they always have been and as they always were, but the king is much more accessible. He wants to interact. He wants people to wish him a happy birthday, and for him to be able to wave to a child, shake hands with somebody, accept flowers from a passerby, whatever it is. The idea of royalty, of a royal, of a king, of a leader, of a president, of a prince, walking through the streets, whether with or without his entourage, and the accessibility factor is what we are demonstrating. And this is the idea of the king being literally in the field. He is out with everybody. You can go up to him, you can talk to him. It's kind of open door, open house policy, and anybody and everybody can come and access the king much more easily. And of course, it is far less, never mind that you don't need appointments or appointed times, it is also far more accessible, everybody and anybody, whether you're a great or whether you are, or you view yourself as being from the peasantry, whether we are high and mighty or we are just simple me, we have the same kind of access, the same kind of ability. We can go over, share our problems, ask the king for a blessing, ask the king to do something for us. This is the idea of this time. And when we're told that this month of Elul is that kind of time of that accessibility, think about it. It mirrors the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain, now receiving that Torah of forgiveness. God had said, okay, I'm going to put aside all the problems and issues that I've had with you before. Now I'm here and available, and I'm dedicating myself once again to getting close to you, to sharing my Torah with you, to making sure that you have equal access to it. This is what I'm doing, and this is here. I'm here for you at your literal beck and call, and this is what the king being in the field is really all about. And so therefore, we need to utilize this period of time in the proper fashion. And our sages of old have told us of several different points that we should be focusing on during this time. Points of things within ourselves, points of things between ourselves and God Almighty, and points of things between ourselves and our fellow men on three different levels. And yes, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we know those famous words that we always say, Utshuva, Utfila, Utzdaka. Mavir in Israel Gazera, we talk about the difficulty of the decrees that may have been against us being annulled, being overcome, being stunted, taken down from their high and mighty power. We see and we know that there are these three points of access: tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Tshuva, being return; tefillah, prayer; tzedakah, being acts of kindness, acts of chesed, acts of goodness, not just putting coins in a pushka, tzedakah, charity, but all acts of kindness between people. We have these three different levels. And if we think about them, they all mirror these three dimensions: tefillah, being me and my connection with God. Tshuva, me within myself. Where am I holding? Where am I up to? What is my attitude like? Am I going to stay as I am for the rest of my life, or am I going to turn around, change my life, and bring myself closer to God? And thirdly and finally, what is my and what are my interactions with my fellow men? Are they good? Are they kind? Am I being nice to everybody? Am I showing kindness to my fellow men, be they my family, my relatives, people on the street, whoever it is that I come into contact with? And these three realms are the realms of focus, of concentration during this month of Elul. Amazingly, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a number of different ideas around this month of Elul and takes them from verses in the Torah. And if we think about these verses, each one of them actually expounds upon one of these three attitudes, or one of these three realms of either contact or improving our relationship between ourselves and God, improving our relationship with ourselves, and improving our relationship with our fellow men. And we think about these three ideas and ideals, and they're encapsulated actually in the word Elul. And our sages point out Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, can stand for Ina Leyado Vesamti Lecha. Ina Leyado Vesamti Lecha. A verse from Torah where we're talking about the concept of cities of refuge, that there is a place of refuge that one would have to go having committed a heinous crime perhaps, and go there for your own protection and for your own rehabilitation. It's a rehabilitation month. It's a time of coming clean. It's a time of forgiveness. It's a time of wiping the slate clean, no matter what it is that you may or may not have done to affect your relationship with God Almighty. Ina leyado v'samti lecha. Those are the four words, which means the accident happened. It came into your hand. V'samti lecha, God says, I've placed for you this place of refuge. Cities of refuge, places where you can go for your protection, for your cleansing, for your rehabilitation. That is what this month is also all about. Teshuva. That's what teshuva is. Teshuva means turning around. I once saw an article written where it says, you know, Judaism believes in making U-turns. You can make this U-turn. And the U-turn is not going to affect anybody else. It's not going to get in the way. It's not going to cause any accidents. The U-turn is about you within yourself, turning your life around and making the U-turn, going down perhaps a dubious, not such a great path, or in a state of mind, a frame of mind where we're thinking negative thoughts, in a frame of mind where we think that everything is wrong and everybody's unkind, and we feel a little lost in this world. Well, you can make a U-turn. You can change your attitude. You can focus on good things. You can focus on what is right and what there is to live for, and how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is that Hashem gave us, that God gave us this incredible world with all the wonderful things within it. And we need to adjust our sights. We need to adjust our attitudes. We need to make sure that we are a much more positive biased, and that we are far more involved in doing things in the right and the correct way. And changing ourselves is the act of teshuva. Teshuva means return. It doesn't just mean repentance. It doesn't just mean banging our chests and apologizing and saying we're sorry, although that can be and it is part of the process. But the idea of turning around teshuva, to getting back to where we should be, is point number one. Ina leyado v'samti lecha. God says your tshuva, your repentance, your return will be accepted. God will look kindly on those who sincerely want to come back and want to get involved in a more meaningful, in a better, in a more appropriate kind of a life. And then, of course, the second stance, or the second idea, is ani ledodi v'dodi li. A quote, of course, from Shir HaShirim, from King Solomon, who wrote, I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. Ani ledodi. A lot of people translate it as a dod. A dod is an uncle. I'm to my uncle as my uncle is to me. No. Ani ledodi. Dodi from the word yedid. Yedid means a good friend. Ani ledodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. I'm to my friend. I'm to my close associate. And who, of course, are we talking about? All of King Solomon's writings, Shir HaShirim and so on, is really about the love between God and the Jewish people. the reference to God being the chatan, or the man in the relationship, and the Jewish people being the kala, the bride, or the woman in the relationship. We talk about this passionate relationship between two people in the formation of this formidable marriage, and we think about Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. And of course, the letters once again spell the month, spell the name Elul. Ani ledodi vedodi li spells Elul. The month of Elul is a time of coming close to our beloved. Now, when we say those words, I'm to my beloved is to me, we need to think about the fact that there are two parts or two players in the relationship between ourselves and God Almighty. There is God and there is us. God will do his part when we do our part, and we'll do our part when God does his part. So this is about perfecting this relationship, making sure that God understands what he needs to do for us, and we understanding what we need to do, not only for him, but for the whole relationship and for our reason for living, for our reason for being in this world in the first place. I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. And that, of course, is encapsulated in our tefillot, in our prayers. Now, many, many people feel that when it comes to our prayers, you know, we saw the same prayer yesterday and we're going to see the same one tomorrow. We may as well just knock it off, get rid of it, you know, get it out of the way, make sure we can have some kind of a speed race to see how quickly we can finish it up, and actually then have some time, a little bit more time to spend with chatting to our friends about whatever other nonsense is on the horizon. The idea of working on that relationship, slow it down. Slow down your interaction with God. Make it meaningful. Interact in a beautiful relationship, in a beautiful prayer. Our prayers are not prayers of supplication all the time, and they're not prayers of demand all the time. They're not prayers of asking God to deliver this or deliver that. You know, God is not takealot.com. God is not Amazon or a place where you just call for delivery. God is actually a close ally, friend, neighbor, relationship, partner. Anila dodiva dodili, I have to play my part. We've got to work on that relationship. And part of the working on that relationship is not only getting back to where we should be, but also praying and speaking those words of praise of God, of telling God how much we love him, making sure that he understands that we are there, and that there can be this open display of friendship, warmth, and communication, which our tefillot, our prayers, encapsulate. And then, of course, we have a quote that comes from a rather unusual kind of a place, which is in the Megillat Purim, in the Purim Megillah, Megillat Esther. We have the incredible quote of the fact that in order to celebrate Purim, there were several things that were allowed and that were going to be done. Never mind the simcha and the joyous festive meal, the reading of the Megillah. There was also going to be the giving of matanot, of gifts given to the poor, of gifts given to your friends. And it says, Ish l're'ehu u'matanot la'evyonim. Each man to his friend, matanot le'evyonim, and gifts to the poor, ish l're'ehu, aleph lamed, u'matanot le'evyonim, vav lamed. The idea of this giving, of this interaction between people, whether they're your best friends, whether they are just your friends and associates, or whether they are poor people, it also encapsulates and has the word Elul spelled out by those words of that verse. And it is Ish l'ra'eyu, each man to his friend, u'matanot le'evyonim, and the giving of gifts of ability to function to the poor. This is Elul. What does it speak of? Charity, acts of kindness, acts of charity, acts of goodness between all people is encapsulated by this third statement.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, welcome back. Rabbi Michael Katz here with you on Judaism 101.9. Great to be in your company, and we're talking about the month of Elul, of course. This is Rosh Chodesh Elul today, and we are headed in for a great month where we spoke about the three different standpoints, so the three different realms of this month from our point of view. What do we do about it? Teshuvah, Tefillah, and tzedakah. We talk about our teshuvah, our return, our repentance, tefillah, our prayers, and tzedakah, our acts of goodness, our acts of kindness, our mitzvahs, and particularly the mitzvahs between Adam le Adam, between man and man, between Adam le Chavero, between man and his fellow man. This is what we need to focus on during this time. So how do we do that? Well, the Baal Shem Tov gave us a very nice formula, a nice plan to be able to follow, and that is the idea of adding three extra psalms from the book of Tehillim, from the book of Psalms, each day from today. So today, in addition to all your other prayers, if you want to follow this idea, you need to say Psalms 1, 2, and 3 from the beginning of the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms. Tomorrow we will say 4, 5, and 6, and so on. And that will leave us with a balance of a number of Tehillim that are completed, in fact, over Yom Kippur. So this will take us through, and it kind of stitches together in all the 40 days, three psalms, three psalms, three psalms per day. And then on Yom Kippur, we actually complete the saying of the whole Tehillim. There will be 36 chapters, 36 psalms that are left said on Yom Kippur, some in the evening of Kol Nidre, some in the at the end of the morning davening, and some right after Ne'ilah, at which stage we will complete the whole book of Tehillim, the whole book of Psalms, in addition to all our other prayers for the duration of this 40-day period. So, increasing in our prayers, and hopefully that's done not only regularly, but also with sincerity and with a deep-felt, heartfelt connection to work on tefillah, to work on our realm of prayer and work on our relationship with God Almighty. If we're thinking about teshuvah, well, it's an opportunity for us to focus on our own interaction with God Almighty, our own personal learning, our own personal commitment, our own personal commitment not only to our friends, relatives, and family, but to God Almighty, to our community, to our shuls, to our environment, that kind of commitment of coming closer and at the same time spending time on introspection, on thinking about how I can rectify, how I can fix if I'm quick to anger, how do I work on that, if I perhaps have a lot of arrogance within myself or pride or, God forbid, any hatred, to work on those things and say, you know what, I'm going to do that U-turn, I'm going to change from within, I'm going to become a completely different individual, different person, and live a completely different life with a different attitude altogether. And then finally, of course, how do I work on my mitzvot? How do I work on the mitzvahs that I'm doing? Whether it's increasing in those mitzvahs or it's increasing in the standard of those mitzvahs, of those good deeds, of those kindnesses, or of those laws and customs that we have as part of our mitzvot category. These are all things that we can and we should work on. And of course, it was therefore known as a good time if you needed to check your mezuzahs on your house. Are they all upright? Or do you have them all on the right, on the correct places? Do you have them all on every doorpost, as we are required to do? What about your tefillin? What about your tzitzit, your talesim? What about any of the other mitzvot? Am I giving tzedakah? Am I giving my charity correctly? Am I giving the right amounts? Am I giving the one-tenth of my earnings, etc., etc., etc.? And, of course, all the rest we understand going forward from there. And if we work on these things during this month, of course, the month not only becomes much more meaningful, but we'll be far better prepared come Rosh Hashanah for that blessing of a Shana Tova Umetuka. Be back with you right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Yes, and speaking about the month of Elul that we have just entered, it is this great and wonderful opportunity to get closer to ourselves, to get closer to those who we love, and to get a lot closer to God Almighty. It's about this preparedness, about this preparation, about making sure that we're in the right frame of mind, make sure we're in the right frame of physical well-being, and make sure that we're in the right frame of spiritual well-being in order to accomplish all of that. Part of what we do is the blowing of the shofar, the sounding of the shofar, which began today. And of course, it's all about waking us up. At the same time, we wish to arouse the heavenly Rachamim, the heavenly mercy, the godly mercy from above. As we say, Le David Hashem Ori Veyishi, a special song that is said in all shuls around the world during this month, and of course, in the first half of, maybe more than half, right up until the end of Sukkot, we say, Le David Hashem Ori Veyishi, we say the psalm 27, expounding upon all the things that have to do with the coming month of Tishrei, so to speak, and of getting ourselves closer to God Almighty. We wish and we hope and we pray that we will arouse the midah, the character tray of heaven, of mercy, of kindness, of goodness for us, for all Israel, for everywhere in the world, for our people everywhere. Unfortunately, going through a little bit of a rough time, a rough patch, a difficult time over this past year. we need not elaborate upon that, but hopefully the sound of the shofar will arouse God's great and infinite mercy for us all, for our brothers and sisters in Israel, for the hostages, for the chayalim, for the soldiers, for all the people who have suffered and have gone through the difficulties that they have over this past year. And please God, very, very soon, the sounding of the shofar will not only be speaking about Moshe going up the mountain, it won't only be speaking about arousing the heavens to mercy, and it won't only be speaking about waking us up to serve God just a little bit better, but actually it will be the trumpet sounds of the King, who's not only in the field, but the King Mashiach, who has arrived in order to bring about a fundamental, great, and wonderful change to our world everywhere. I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week. Please God, on Judaism 101.9.